What's happening in the canine industry? For all the latest news, views, and expert opinions, stay right here for the Canine Paradigm. You'll hear from industry leaders, experts, doyens of the industry, learned colleagues, movers and shakers, and the odd randy guest. Get the latest insights and expert advice from both here and abroad from the people in the know. Now, here are your hosts, Glenn Cook and Pat Stewart. And I'm Lofty Fulton, and I'm out of here.
It's been so long since we've put a new
We're shit house at it. We're so bad at it.
Our poor sponsors.
We're so bad at it, and we want to get better going forward.
Yes.
But here's a quick ad, and then we're going to be better at this.
Okay.
We're going to be better.
Yeah.
I promise we're going to be better.
Yeah, except for the Buffhead.
Yeah, fucking Einzelwiener.
Tell us about
Einzelwiener. He's been in it from the start. If you want a tug, a ball, a slip leash.
A slip lead.
You know, really, no joke, is slip leads are the best slip leads.
They are great slip leads.
They are the best.
But they're handmade. They're hand loved.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's times where I look at material when we're actually buying things for our businesses and some of them are just shit house.
Yeah.
Like they're so mass produced. Jason takes his time. He puts them together properly.
Like if you're listening, chances are you're in the industry, you're in the business, you need a lot of leashes, you sell them to clients, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Deck out your staff. The best thing about the Einzelwiener leashes is that he custom makes them.
He does.
You can get whatever you want, whatever color, whatever length.
Too. Like he's
a handle on it, no handle on it, whatever. I had him make that handler pack for me because I got sick of people turning out with shit leashes. Now everyone I train with uses all these perfect leashes.
Yep.
So get some stuff from the Einzelwiener. He's been supporting us from the start. We love him. We hate him sometimes.
Make sure you're telling me he's a Buffhead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Canineceuticals.
Going great. Thank you, people in the United States who prioritize your dog's health through supplementation.
I am a walking testimonial for Canineceuticals because if you go back, you hear 18 months ago, I was like, yeah, pretty sure my dog's going to die any minute because he was so unwell and got him on the sups and he's actually in the best shape he's been in ages.
Narelle's always maintained if it never worked, she'd burn it to the ground. She's just got too much pride and too much neuroticism not to put something to market that she didn't believe in. And the wonderful thing about it is it's working well. The testimonials have been amazing and very heartfelt. Like she gets people who are so agitated and depressed and distressed about the health and the well-being of their dogs. Narelle makes no outrageous claims. Mm-hmm. She's never said that it's the one thing that does everything for dogs. She just says it's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
By law, she's not allowed to make those claims, but she wouldn't want to anyway. But what she does tell people is it's definitely going to do better for your dog.
Yeah.
We watch our own dogs. Opie, who's got more things than you could poke a stick wrong with him, he probably wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't through Narelle's treatment, through good supplementation, changing diets, all those sort of things. I could talk about it forever. I don't want to make this sound like a buy sales pitch. I'm a fan of it because I know if it works. If it didn't, I wouldn't.
Well, it's an ad.
Well, it's an ad.
But I wouldn't disgrace myself by talking about something that didn't work. I'd be the same with her. I'd just say burn it to the ground. I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
And if you're a first-time customer in Australia or the US, Narelle's offering a 10% discount off the entire range of Canineceuticals products by typing in the discount code TCP10 at checkout.
Let's work through our sponsor list.
Yes.
These are the people that sponsor us and we love them for it and we're plugging their business.
Yes.
First on our list here is Daniel, who we don't know how to say is the Tropiano? Tropino.
I thought we just called him Troppy Daniel.
Troppy Daniel. Dog Club, South Australia.
Yep.
Awesome training facility.
Representing South Australia, it is great to see that state that's usually sleepy and not considered.
Just hosting some cool events there.
Yeah. Yeah, good on you, Daniel. Well done.
George Kittredge.
Rowdy Hound.
Yeah. It's fucking cool. It's a box for your dog that goes on your motorbike.
The only one that I know of.
Yeah. It's the coolest product.
Not in Australia yet. So hopefully one day we can talk to Horny George about getting some Rowdy Hound dog boxes in here. He does training videos. He shows people how to train their dogs to get into the Rowdy Hound. He's a dog trainer himself. He's in the biz.
Yep. Barbara DeGroot.
From the Heart Dog Training.
That's her.
Our sugar mama.
Yeah.
She's so good.
I love
her. She asks nothing in return. She's just plastered with love and money. She's very encouraging all the time. Thank you, Barbara. She's a Roddy lady. So what would you expect?
Yep. Tailored Canines.
We don't know much about Tailored Canines. They just turned up one day and said, hey, we just want to throw some money at you. But they offer a complete range of canine training services.
Yep. Tailored Canines. Where are they? They're in Canada, right?
They're in Canada.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of Canadians, we've got a couple of Americans, we've got a couple of Aussies. Good eclectic mix. We haven't got anyone from Europe. Fucking hell. Up your game.
But we can't take any more sponsors. So We're bad enough at Birdie O'Shea. Oh, yeah. So we are plugging as well. Birdie was on for us last week and then told us about her webinar thing that she's got going on for people in the
Magic of Dogs.
Magic of Dogs. So head to birdieoshetty.com, I think is her website, and you can check that out there. All the sponsors, trust us, we're getting better at the ads. I promise you, next, we're going to be in touch with you and we're going to get better at it. We're going to take it more seriously. We're just shit at it because we've got other stuff and this is just an extra that we like to do. We thank you very much
for
your support.
But we both spanked each other. Pat spanked me and then I spanked him. And we needed
to get better at this.
Yeah, we do.
We were going to leave it another week of the existing ad and thought, no, we can't possibly. We're actually together for the first time. Yep. That's what's been holding us back is that
we haven't been together.
Yeah. I missed you.
I missed you too.
All right, that's it. Here's the show.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Canine Paradigm. I'm your host, Pat Stewart. I'm joined in studio today by my co-host, Glenn Cook.
Do you know what was hilarious about last week?
What?
When I was editing the video, you and I had about a dozen stops where we had to like literally stop so both of us could have a coughing fit. And when that happened, I'm thinking to myself, I've got this little lurgy I've picked up during the week. Mm-hmm. It was probably during the trial or something like that. I don't know. There was a lot of people telling me they were sick there. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, you got sick, I got sick. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's good though, because I've dodged a bullet. If this is as bad as it's going to get, how fucking wrong could I be?
Yeah.
Literally the next day, it turned into the plague of all plagues. It benched me for the entire week. Like I've been literally bedridden. Narelle had to go to the dog lover show in Brisbane and I had to look after all the dogs. But mate, it was an absolute trial to get out of bed, to put food in their bowls and to change their waters and clean up and stuff like that. I was as weak as a kitten. I could not believe it. And it lasted me the whole week. Mm. I've been so fucking plague ridden and sick. It was ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't been great. I definitely haven't been that bad, but I have not been well.
Amazing. Amazing how wretched and vile I felt. It was just so putrid.
Disgusting.
Yep.
So that's a precursor for how well this episode might go.
Exactly.
we're just managing expectations of two sick men who have man flu.
Yes, definitely have man flu.
Yeah.
If it was Narelle, she'd probably go, oh, I've got a cough, and she'd skip around doing work. But yeah, it benched me hard.
While you were dying in bed, Licky Matt have come under attack.
Yes. I saw plenty of social media remarks about it, and I could not believe my eyes about the absolute disgusting, defamatory, and knee-jerk behavior of a group of people. I cast my mind back to many times where I've known that people from the Force Free community or positive dog training have been involved in the endorsement of a product, and I've never felt like tearing them down or burning the castle or storming the fucking beach or anything like that.
Yeah.
I've never thought to be a part of that. Now, I have disagreements with these people. I don't abide by some of their preachings. I don't subscribe to their practices or their mentoring or whatever they're doing because it doesn't align with my way of thinking. Mm. It doesn't mean everything they're doing is bad. It's just like when they decide to get on the pulpit and start the sermon, those sort of things don't sit well with me. Or a lot of my colleagues in the industry. Like there's a lot of us who look at it and go, that's very disappointing behavior.
So in case anybody has somehow managed to dodge what's happened, let's give the rundown.
Yeah, sure.
So Crufts is a huge
dog show
in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It's televised.
Or as they call it, Crufts.
Crufts. It's televised. What do they do there? It's a dog show, like a dog prettiness competition.
Yeah, they do dog dancing, dog shows. Like it's enormous. Like
there's
it's
all these
like
demos
NASCAR
and stuff. I've never really seen it except for a few years ago, there was some like dog shit bite work that got done of it and it was just ridiculous and the dog didn't out and it was a whole thing. And that got shared in some of the working dog forums, but I've never really looked at anything else that happens there.
Well, the most infamous one of recent years was when they had that German Shepherd that was literally bouncing along on the back of its hocks. And I think it won the best in show or something like that. And the world literally went berserk. Now that I can get behind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like when I see a misformed genetic disaster getting up in a situation like that, that I can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can get angry about that.
Well, I just, you know, when you're involved in a working breed and you can see that the working breed has just declined into a misshapen
pygmy
or just a
a figment of what it used to be,
yeah,
then I'm not the only one. There were people like literally around the world is why they were under fire over that sort of thing. But Licky Mat.
Okay, so hang on. So Licky Mat had a stall, I suppose. They were a vendor at Crufts. I suppose they have like an exhibition hall where you can buy stuff, I guess. And they shared their booth with the guy, I don't even know his name, from
Adam Spivey.
Adam Spivey from Southend Dog Training, who is a guy in the UK who has a pretty big social media following. Let me see how many people he actually does have follow him. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So he has 1.3 million followers on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah. I wonder how many he had a week ago. I wonder how this went for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, Adam Spivey, Southend Dog Training. He's got 1.3 million followers on Instagram, 2.1 million on TikTok. And he does, he's a balanced trainer. I suppose that was the problem. And he does like a lot of talking to camera sort of reels and nothing crazy. Like there's nothing super controversial.
But he uses tools and he talks about tools.
Yeah, he's clearly very open about that.
The minute that comes into the conversation, you're the devil.
So my understanding is that he's written a book or something and that he was sharing a booth with Licky Mat. And I think my understanding of it is that it was at their invitation. He was there and he was like signing books or whatever for people at Crufts.
That's the story I know.
And so the positive only dog trainers are big mad about that. And all I saw online, like, cause I don't pay attention to Crufts. So it's not the aspect of the dog world that I'm interested in. All I see is my feed is just people losing their minds about Licky Mats. And what's weird, like I'm only seeing this on Facebook because Facebook's this two-way follow problem. And, you know, like on Instagram, you choose who you follow. On social media, you choose who you follow. But on Facebook, if people want to friend you, you're then seeing their stuff. And I still remain in some of the forums and whatever that are force-free forums or whatever because there's sometimes interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, I'm in a few of them as well.
So during the week, there were people going mental, like cutting up their Licky Mats. And I saw some screenshots of some of the emails people were sending to Licky Mat and there were definitely concentrated efforts. People were rallying the troops to attempt to destroy Licky Mat, the brand. Now, Licky Mat is just like a slow feeding thing, right? Like it's
a little,
it's an enrichment toy for dogs.
It's a silicon mat. They make a range of products from bowls and mats and so forth. And they're actually quite good. We've got several of them here. You know, we've used them for our own French bulldogs to slow down their feeding. It's a silicon mat, flexible silicon mat. You mash your food onto it, the dog can then go off and lick it. So if you've got dogs that suffer from GDV or anything like that, which is like bloat, same sort of construction, you can use them in a very constructive way to help your dogs slow down their feeding. You know, it's kind of like solving a puzzle, licking it up off the mat. Great. It's terrific. They started off like everyone, small little company. All of a sudden, people around the world have rallied behind it until now. The minute that somebody was associated with it, which like a congregation of people didn't abide by, I can't believe what I was reading. The same thing as you. Like I'm sitting in bed on my last breath reading these.
I was dying.
I was dying.
Okay.
But I'm trying not to laugh so I don't cough too much. But
leave it in, Glenn. Leave it in. Don't cut it out.
Okay. All right. I'll leave it in.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm lying in there miserable as fuck. And I'm just same thing as you. Like it's literally ping, 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 ping. And something's happened in the dog training world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's either my mum sending me recipes or some shit's happened in the dog training world. So I've grabbed my phone. I've taken it off snooze mode and I've had a look at it and I'm thinking, the hell is wrong with these people? I'm in and out of like a stupor, but I can still read what's going on. I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with these people that they've got to subject a brand to this level of scrutiny? I mean, it's not like they had a pedophile at the stand or something outrageous or something like that. They had a legitimate dog trainer who uses balanced techniques. He's got a great following of people. There's never been anything that I know that he's done that's been so outrageously controversial where he's been charged with cruelty to animals or anything like that. To my knowledge, I will say that as a caveat. But it surprises me to no end that these people think that that's okay. Like the very people who construct a fabric of behavior for everybody else to abide by can then flip it around and then say, oh, but it doesn't work when we want to attack you.
Mm.
So what we want to do is preach love, kindness, peace and mung beans and well-being on earth, as long as it's abiding by the treatment of dogs. But fuck you, Jack, if you've done something wrong by us, like if it doesn't fit in our little ethical ball game. This is the devastating and absolutely shocking part of this performance that this group continually seems to do.
Mm.
They don't come under enough scrutiny over this sort of thing. Like they're, you know, like there should be more, I hate to say this, when you talk about all these anti-bullying laws and so forth, because some of them get, there's so much outreach to them sometimes. But these people get away with putting people through absolute tyranny, the way they behave.
Mm.
And imagine it's your company. Imagine Licky Match, your company. All of a sudden you get, it's probably more than this, but let's say you get 1,000 emails in your box in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Of people screaming their lungs out, threatening you, threatening to bring your company down and stuff like that, literally just because you had a dog trainer at your stand.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
does that make sense to you?
No, it's madness. It's total madness.
But that's what I'm saying is because I've never seen that to that degree when a positive trainer has been on the stand with somebody before, like you might walk past and go, oh God, that jerk, you know, or that
fraud.
That fraud, yeah, that person whose opinion is inflated and out of control. But you don't sit there and go, you know what, I'm going to raise a people's army and smash that company.
Mm. Yeah, and it's the wildest thing is it's not like there was a thing that happened. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Like if
he didn't go and kick a dog in class.
Yeah, like if old mate's in the Licky Mat stand helicoptering a dog, okay.
Yeah, well.
Fucking hell, we got a problem there.
And if Licky Mat stood by him.
Yeah.
You know, like if they didn't sort of disown him and say, Adam, this is all complete fabricated
for the sake
of this ridiculous story. But if he did something like that and they said, Adam, sorry, get out. Our transaction is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And they put a public statement out and go, you are cruel to a dog in the definition of being abusive in training.
Mm-hmm.
But then you say that and then they say, well, he is abusive to dogs.
Mm.
Like he uses tools.
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's the issue.
Yeah. Where that line sits is that's open for interpretation. And the problem is
those goalposts are picked up and carried around the field. Like they're never planted in the ground.
No, totally. Yeah. Mm. It's an interesting one on a very, I certainly don't have 1.3 million followers, but on a very, very minor scale, I had a reel go viral during the week. Now, viral, it's not like it got heaps of plays, but it got more than I have followers. That's the definition of viral. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So any more reach than followers is viral.
Okay.
So you got one follower, two people watch it. That's viral.
Yeah. All I got was a viral flu. That's it.
But the reel was your dog. Right. So I put up a video. I was using the new Kirby
But do you know why? Sleeve. Do you know why that went viral?
Why?
Because it's not another Malinois doing bite work.
There's a few reasons why I think, yeah, for sure, definitely.
Yeah. And because there's a million videos of that of Malinois doing bite work.
Yeah.
Like it's nice to see outliers doing the work.
Yeah, for sure.
Hmm.
But
that's what people reached out to me and said.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people said that was cool. Really love that little clip that Pat put up. And I said, yeah, it was. I said, oh, that was unexpected. I didn't know he was putting that up.
Yeah. So history on that, or the context, is we're working your dog. We're closing in his bicep targeting. I just literally, like that day it arrived in the mail, got the new Kirby from Josh Kirby, the shorty bicep sleeve.
Yeah.
It's an exciting piece of equipment because for a long time I've used the puppy sleeve number one, the jute puppy sleeve number one as like a bicep cuff, but there's not a lot of protection on that thing, but it's a really effective tool. So Josh is now selling a thing that's actually made to take proper bites on, but it's very small and narrows. Like it's one of those aim small, miss small sorts of things. First time I've used it, thought, well, we'll film this because if I fuck this up, I'm going to get bitten. So I may as well have footage of it. Usually, you know, that's the way of the world these days. I prescribe to that. If you're going to do something stupid, you may as well film it. And very often, remember when I used to go shooting and I'd put my quad bike in my van and I'd drive it in? And I would film that every time and I would say to the camera every time, this is not an attempted suicide. If I die doing this, it's a genuine error.
Yep.
Fortunately, it didn't happen.
Mm.
But so I thought, oh, we'll film this in case I get bitten. And I didn't get bitten. It went fine. And then I'm sitting around. I think I had a kid asleep on me and I'm sitting there on my phone. Thought, oh, I'll post this and I'll tag Josh and it'll give, like, you know, it's a great product. I want to pump him up a bit.
Yeah.
Why not? posted it. But of course, it's a roddy, like you say, it's a roddy on the table. And what most people don't understand, especially, you know, if you haven't worked any of those roddies, is that there isn't the depth of prey like there is in a mallee. Mm. And so to bring some intensity to it, they have to feel something. Yeah. You have to make them feel something in the work.
Yes.
And like I needed to make him feel a bit spicy. Now that like what I didn't show was the dog gets off the table and cuddles me. He's your sweetheart Rottweiler.
Yeah.
But on the table, I've got to bring a bit of heat to him. So he nearly bites my hand. I pull my hand back. He barks, he lunges, he growls. I pick up the sleeve. He bites the sleeve. That's it. Mm. Right. It got some traction because it's unusual and people were like, oh, Pat, you're going to get bitten. This is stupid. But because it left my sphere of people who would normally watch the things that I watch, some of the comments on it were fucking ridiculous, right? Like ridiculous. I had to delete some because they were so outrageous. Others I left, but some of them were really fucking ridiculous. And so I just, the reason I usually delete that stuff or hide them, I tend not to delete them. I hide them is because I don't want people getting in an argument on my post, right? Because yep. I won't engage with it, but other people likely will. But some of the comments, none of them were English. Oh, there were a couple in English, but most of them were translated. So it was like broken English as it translated about like, I hope that fucking dog rips your throat out. How dare you do that to that dog? And what occurred to me when I was reading these comments is any dog person that knows even the faintest thing about dogs can tell that dog's having time of its life, right? Like that dog's having a great time. And the reason I bother telling this whole story is because that's indicative of a lot of the problems that we see of the people going crazy about, oh, that guy's a balance trainer, fuck it, him and all the anyone who supports him in any way, shape or form, we have to destroy them. Usually the people who are rallying the troops, the army to do that, wouldn't know good or bad dog training if it kicked them in the dick. Like they wouldn't have a fucking clue what is good and what's bad. They can't read a dog. They don't understand the faintest thing about dog training. They don't know what a trained dog is from an untrained dog. They don't know a nervous wreck genetic dog from a dog that they've created a ton of anxieties in from their own behaviors around it. And these are the people who are then going after actual dog trainers and people who have influence in a positive way. So old mate, South End Dog Training, I've seen some of his reels come up in my feed. They just come up, you know, every now and again. Mm. But I don't really know the guy. He's not someone I've interacted with. I don't know anything about him. But what I know is he's a balanced trainer with, as we just saw, 1.3 million followers, which means his influence in dog training, in like what is just normal, everyday, probably quite good balanced training is significant and he's an important person. And that's why then they go, oh, well, that's someone we need to take down. My question for you is, do you think that there's a concerted effort behind that? Or is this a group of individuals that have gotten together? Or do you think there's a rallying force that brought those people together to attack Licky Matt?
It's always column A and B.
Yeah, you reckon both?
Both. I believe that we've been warning people and keeping people on notice for a considerable amount of time now in regards to the nefarious behaviours of some of these larger companies or organisations. Let's not call them a company. Well, they are a company because they profit, make money and pay wages and pay taxes and everything like that. So in retrospect, they are actual companies, but they call themselves agencies or welfare organizations, whatever they are. Whenever I say this, I cop a little bit of heat from here and there, people saying, this is conspiracy theory only, where's your evidence? I don't need to provide it for you. It's on the internet.
Yeah.
There is no real layering to this. You can go in and within 5 minutes of active searching, you can find exactly what they're doing. You can look into their company profit margins, what they're paying people, who's endorsing them, and go well beyond what you need to get within 5 minutes. Like you don't need to be a CEO of a PwC or something like that to find out much about them. So an average Joe can find out about this. But what concerns me, because I was thinking about this the other day, and I saw a post that you put up, I think today, about how you think about people and then it turns into this great fanfare.
Mm.
I watched the entire reel because I thought, that's an interesting take. And I knew you wouldn't have put it up there without a reason. So maybe you can talk on that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this the other day because I thought, imagine a person coming into the dog training world and they're excited. They're a blank slate. They just walked in the door.
Mm-hmm.
They've literally got two cues to stand in and they're thinking, I don't know what to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, one of the cues starts bringing you over They're all friendly to you. They want to make friends. They want to invite you into everything. They start basically making you feel heard and seen and things that have never happened to you before. As I've exposed in my own life from time to time, like that happened to me in my journey. Being young and desiring attention, I got what I wanted from the dog training industry. It provided me with the attention I wanted and needed. So sum up, there's fucking millions of people in the world like that. Like the reason they come to dogs is because somehow or some way there's a little imbalance in their life and finally the dog has made sense for them and they're really excited about it. And that group brings them in. Now that they've got a couple of likes or even on social media, if they go into the groups, if they get, oh, go into this group, be with these people. They'll coach you, they'll mentor you, you can see what they're doing, comment on a few things. And then they start saying a couple of, let's say, contextual feedback. And then you make a comment on it and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I should have done that. But all of a sudden you get 3, 4, 5, 6 likes, a couple of comments like, you go girl or you go
boy.
Boy. You know, like you get those little supportive chants and then you're thinking to yourself, yeah, this is good.
Mm.
Suddenly I'm seen and I'm heard and these people like me, they accept me. I feel validated. It's what I've always kind of wanted, a family, someone to fit in with, people that seem to be my own tribe. And then after a period of time, you're recruited and you didn't realize it. You're actually recruited. You've been brought in and you've been groomed to be a part of a cabal.
Mm.
You don't know it. You don't see the sinister side of it until it's pointed out to you. But even then, you'll defend it vigorously. Like you will literally sit there and say, no fucking way. These people are my family. I'll die for them. I'll lie down in traffic for these people. And they will turn you into a foot soldier. You won't question. You won't think about what's going on. You'll just respond. And that's what I'm seeing people doing in scores. Like they've been groomed so delicately that they're turning into like the army of the dead, that they just comment and say things that are so profoundly obscure and obtuse that you think to yourself, how did it get to be like this? I think it was Ray Kroc who said the customer was always right, but that's not the entirety of the conversation. There's a lot of times where people cherry pick the
quotes.
Quotes. Like they say the part that they like so they can put it on their company logo and say, Ray Kroc said this, but they leave out some of the other stuff that he said as well. I think when Ray Kroc said things like that, people weren't such deceptive assholes on social media. Like
there that was back no in the social media.
You know, like the 50s and 60s where people were actually kind and God-fearing and spoke nicely and families congregated well with each other and sat down to eat a meal together and people were friendly to each other. Like now it's not that same world anymore.
Mm.
Like I'm a kid of the 70s. My world is gone.
Mm.
I'm watching this barbarianism. Like it's like The Running Man. It's like watching that show with Arnold Schwarzenegger where you've just got these fanatical people watching somebody running for their life, innocent or guilty, who knows, but it's a TV show now, you know, and you're just thinking, yeah, this person's a rotten person because that guy told me he was.
Mm.
So I want to watch him being put to death. Doesn't matter if they're innocent. You don't know. As long as that person tells you that they're the devil, you just believe it and you go ahead with it. And that all started from a blank slate, from somebody who was innocent, who just walked into this and had column A and column B to choose from.
Mm. Yeah, I think for sure the level of indoctrination that now exists in social media is insane. And how easily you can be indoctrinated into a particular set of thoughts and beliefs.
Mm.
And I think that happens nefariously by people, as well as I think it happens by accident, by algorithms. I understand some of the social media algorithms a little bit and there's no nefarious agenda with the algorithm beyond it wants you to look at ads. That's it. And it'll
just
show
creates
you
popularity.
Yeah. It'll show you whatever you want to see
or
whatever keeps you on the platform, not what you necessarily want to see, but just what keeps you on the platform. But as a result, you can by accident indoctrinate yourself pretty quickly. You can surround yourself you can put yourself in an echo chamber very, very quickly by doing that on social media. But I think for sure there are people who are doing that on purpose. To your point on people being like the 70s being different, you know, I grew up in the 80s, similar again. But I think the real big difference is there was consequences for your actions. So like you like immediate and swift.
Yeah, there was retribution.
Yeah. But in real life, you know, like, and this is the thing I see is that this Licky Mat debacle has happened online and they've been attacked online.
By ghouls, invisible faced ghouls.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what happened there during the day. That would be interesting to see. Like, I wonder if anything actually happened at Crufts. Do you know anything about that? Did anything actually happen there? Did anybody do anything in person, face-to-face in real life?
I don't think so. I think it blew up the next day.
Yeah.
I'm only saying that because I have limitations on my knowledge there. But that,
yeah. That's what certainly seems to have happened. I haven't seen anything about like someone intervening in the time because I think that's the thing. Like real-world actions have real-world consequences. But, you know, destroying someone online gives this feeling of, I guess, anonymity as well as you don't have to – not only are you not susceptible to the consequences of your actions, you don't get to see the consequences of your actions, right? So to your point about Licky Mat just being a company of people that are making products that are helpful to dogs, you know what I mean?
Extremely like, helpful to dogs.
Yeah, and Licky Mat, they're not a training tool. It's a slow feeding / enrichment tool. So they don't have a camp to be in beyond the well-being of dogs and then therefore their own profit margins in the production of a product that allows for that, right?
What most likely would have happened, which most companies do, he may have reached out to them or they might have been looking for some influences in some certain areas. He might have said something which they thought, that's helpful, that's kind, I like what he's saying. I like his MO on what he's doing with dogs. I'll reach out to him and see if he's interested in partnering with us.
Yeah.
And not done a whole bunch more research than that.
Yeah.
They're not a Fortune 500 company. It's Licky Mat.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't BlackRock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess the consequences are not seeing it because I think one of the things I think is interesting, it's a lot of the more crazy of the people who call themselves dog trainers or a part of the industry or whatever that are the really overzealous, force-free, ban everything, can't train a dog to save their life people, they're not actually getting to see anything that happens when this mob goes after them, right? So they want Licky Mat destroyed, okay? They want Licky Mat to no longer exist, but they're not thinking about the individuals who work at, own Licky Mat. They're not thinking the next step down, okay, is there another product that does a similar thing? Does that mean that like now we don't have that type of product and it's not available to anyone? The craziest thing is, this is what really sort of is interesting to me, is that the people who are so vehemently against any form of balanced training, they've got this idea in their head that all you do is crank on dogs and it's punishment-based training. You hear this bullshit all the time. So the question is, do they not want balanced trainers using Licky Mats? Is it that as once you're in the other camp, you're not allowed to do any of the things that they do? Is that part of it as well?
They don't want balanced trainers.
But so if a balanced trainer uses a tool that they use, like a Licky Mat, do they want the tool destroyed? They want that out because this is what we're seeing. We're seeing people literally cutting up their fucking Licky Mats. And so what is your dog eating out of now, you fucking idiot? Like, what are you doing? Do you think, how many of them do you think got their camera out, set up their tripod, got their fucking scissors, like, fuck you, Licky Mat. And they got their Licky Mat out and they cut it up while their dog's standing there. Like, what are you doing with the fucking Licky Mat? Am I not getting fed? Like, why are you holding the Licky Mat in your hands as they're furiously cutting it up online? And then they hit stop. They post the video. They write some vitriol that accompanies their post. And then they sit down on the couch and they're like, oh, fuck.
Eat your food out of a fucking regular bowl. Like, I don't get it, mate. I got to
go buy another Licky Mat because I just cut off my fucking Licky Mat for some video clout.
I don't get it. I'm struggling with it. I've been struggling with it for a long time to understand the creed of this type of behavior. Like, I just don't understand where it comes from.
Yeah.
Like, I used to think there was kindness behind it, but I don't think that anymore.
Nah.
I'm done with defending them or trying to find something nice to say about it anymore. Like, I'm really spent. Like, I just think they've had their time. They've stormed onto the world stage and behaved like absolute prats. And I just think people have got to not just turn a blind eye to this anymore. I think I'm not calling for a fight. That's not what I'm saying. If you heard that, you heard wrong. I also think that people need to switch these people off from here on in and just don't support them, shut them out of your life, like just get on with it without them. I think they're an absolute travesty to the canine world in general, just human beings.
Mm.
That's what I said before, like the guidance and recommendations and the social justice performities that they expect us to treat animals by is definitely not abided by to humans. Like they just have no care, no thought process to that whatsoever. It's like literally I will fucking desecrate your world and put you into a hurt locker that will, like your whole family will resonate from this. The fucking ego attached to that.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
Like to think that people think that that's okay. I mean, man, have a real think about what must be going through their head. Like they're radiating in their shorts with fucking power, thinking I just destroyed a little fucking dog feeding mat company to get back at them because they don't abide by my way of thinking. Yeah. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Yeah.
The ferocity of it is just outrageous.
It'll be interesting to see what happens to Licky Mat. If it were a public company, I'd buy shares in it. I think that it'll end up going bigger.
Well, I hope so.
Because it's not like we were going to talk about Licky Mat anytime. You know
Absolutely
what I mean?
Absolutely not.
Like, and here we are. It's free publicity.
Hey, if you want to sponsor our show, Licky Mat, we'll happily take your Patreon money. No worries.
Yeah.
We've
done a whole episode promoting you.
I don't know if it'll do well in your worldly sales.
It's probably not going to go that well.
And they go, now they've just paired with these two people who talk about us like we're pieces of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm interested to see their response because, like, I've seen some screenshots of some emails that they've done and they're, you know, apologetic and sort of trying to distance themselves, which I think is the wrong play. Look, I'm lucky I've never had a real proper lynch mob come after me. I've had individuals, touch wood, I hope that never happens. But apologizing is not the play. If you're not in the wrong and the lynch mob comes after you, because then they will want more from you and they want more from you and they want more from you. And I think the thing in this game of progressive and out-progressing the progressors, I think the issue within all of that is once you start telling someone else how they can operate and what they should and shouldn't do, you've paid the ante into the game and now you're playing, right? So if you haven't paid the ante, you don't start, like, I don't demand anything of any other trainers. You do what you got to do. Like, you do you. But when you try and tell me what to do, I say, yeah, go fuck yourself. I didn't buy in. I'm not playing that game. I don't care what you do. You fucking have no say about what I do. But the moment that you then play the game and playing the game, there's two ways to play. One is to get on board with the harassing other people, which I haven't seen Licky Mat ever do. But the other way is to apologize when the mob comes after you, because that's you then playing the game of like, oh, don't worry, I'll be better. So like, I don't know what Licky Mat have done. I've seen some of the emails that look like they're sort of pandering a little bit, which I personally think is the wrong play. I reckon, especially when people go after you online, ignore it at a small scale and at a bigger scale, like fight back and say, fuck you. So long as you feel like you're right. Like if you're wrong, then you're wrong, right? If you feel like, oh, I made a mistake and you truly want to apologize for it, go for it. You do you. But the play online is not to pander to these people. That's my opinion anyway. On a really small scale, I don't know if we ever spoke about it on the podcast, but when we used to own the tattoo shop, every now and again you get people, you know, like in any business that has an online thing, you're going to get someone that gives shit 1-star reviews for
guy wanted some Nazi symbols
that we, so the story for anyone, I don't know if I've talked about it to you personally or it was on the show.
No, it was on the show.
Yeah. So a guy wanted.
Do a recap of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jane, I think it was her apprentice at the time, or maybe she had just finished her apprenticeship. This guy commissioned a tattoo and while the girl was drawing it in the shop, someone said, hey, you're not going to tattoo that, are you? And she's like, what do you mean? And it was a Nazi symbol, but it wasn't like it was a swastika. It was like an obscure, like unit specific thing. So it wasn't something that was very easily recognizable as being Nazi. It was like, looked like a military symbol, but it you couldn't tell like without knowing that it was a Nazi thing. So she wrote back to the guy when she found that out, was like, hey, I'm not going to do it. Right. Like you can go somewhere else. So this guy goes mental online and starts like leaving 1-star reviews on Google and all this kind of stuff. But you can tell because we've got his email address and like you can track all this stuff. We're not stupid. But the normal play for people, because he never said, you won't do my Nazi tattoo, right? He just started giving 1-star reviews with no comments and then on Facebook attacking and harassing all this kind of shit. We were hammered him. We were like, hey, we're not doing your fucking Nazi tattoo, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
And posted all the conversations, the whole lot. And he was like trying to take it down. We were like, no, we'll repost it. Because there were replies to his thing. Mm. And it was when I was running the social. I was like, no, motherfucker, you're not running away from this. Like
you kicked over that bee's nest.
Yeah, fuck you. Right. And there's been many and various people who have done similar things. Not one of them ever had a real complaint for a problem with their tattoo. Like that never happened. It was only ever people that didn't like another one was a chick that came in to watch her friend get tattooed and then was pissed off that she wasn't heard by the tattooist when she wanted to try and talk about her tattoo that she was getting. And in the review that she left, she like implied that she'd come in for a consultation and she wasn't treated well by the tattooist she never came in for a consultation. She was there while her friend was getting hammered up, right? Like, no, that's not how it went down. Here's the fucking security camera footage of the whole thing going down, posted the whole lot. Like, you're a liar. This is the fucking truth of how it went down. And I think that's the play. But in a tattoo shop, that's the, like you can be as mean to people as you want, right? Like that's the play. And that fits the brand of tattoo shop. But in Licky Mat, I can't see them being like, fuck off, you idiots. But that's the play.
There was I think it's still around. It's a garage for motorcycles called Triple O's. Mm-hmm. I think they're over in the western suburbs, if they're still open. I don't know if COVID knocked them over or not. They were really good. They did a good job. I've had my bike service there a couple of times. Good service, good people, very good at communicating, very good at itemizing everything, letting you know where you're spending your dollars. Great. I saw a review left on their site, which was just absolutely scathing, absolutely tearing them apart, and literally said, not only did you poorly communicate this entire sequence, which I thought was out of line because I've never known them to communicate badly. They said of the owner, you are arrogant, you're out of place, and you fucked my bike up. And you've caused me and my family stress. And they were seeking compensation. They were seeking public sympathy and so forth. And they did it on every platform they could think of. The good thing about it was this guy kept his cool and he had conversations that he data logged and kept in line. And he said, hey, mate, I've got all the conversations you and me have been having backwards and forwards, all the texts and everything like that. I'm going to post them to our personal Facebook. So he wrote this on Google. He wrote it on everywhere. And he goes, so everybody can go over to the Facebook page Triple O's and read exactly what you said and the way that you were speaking to me from the start. Next thing, gone.
Yeah.
Vanished. At the start, this guy put some real heat and some real imagination into putting this together. And I just thought to myself, incredible. Had they not have handled that well and had he not kept his cool, that could have done some hurt to his business. Mm. But people might have read that and thought, wow, now I just don't know. Mm. I just don't know. I think the original point, or one of the original points that I wanted to sort of swing this back into is why can't people just have a conversation with Licky Mat?
Mm.
Why couldn't they just say, can we get a forum together and express some of our concerns to you privately? There's a group of us. We've established a connection of elders of the spokespeople or whatever, and we just want to express some of our concerns. Can we do that? Then you would say, how respectful is that? That they at least gave them the opportunity to hear their concerns and then also respond to them in a private sitting and just have it where it could be possibly resolved.
Mm.
But you just know that's not going to happen.
Mm.
They love this.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. It's like throwing a fish carcass to a group of sharks and just watching them tear it apart.
Yeah.
But everybody's so excited about that blood fest. You know, like that. Oh, look at that. Ah, oh, wow. Look at them go. And more people want to get on board. They're thinking, oh, now I feel left out. Now I want to kick Licky Mat in the balls.
Mm.
Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff.
It's troubling because we've for a long time, and I feel like we've done this same episode. People are probably kicking their dashboard. Like, how many times are we going to have the same episode? Well, how many times is it going to be in our space is the issue? And when are we going to do something about it? But like, how do you promote cooperation in the dog industry, right? Like, how does that happen? And my concern is that what I don't see is any of the people who can actually train dogs. Because I follow, you know, or I'm at least in the zeitgeist of many of the people who are non-tool using. They don't call themselves force-free because they know that's stupidity, but plus are dog trainers. But I think the issue is the ones that can actually train dogs, they don't do anything to try and look back at the people who are in their sphere of influence and say like, hey, you should be stopping this, right? Like there is no leadership from them because they know it'll affect their bottom line mostly, I think.
Mm. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Like there is no way of stopping this. Like this is just a momentous.
But I wonder like.
Rolling stone.
Would I do that? I don't know. And I don't know how, like what would be the mechanism? Like what scenario can I paint to put myself into their position? I haven't been able to figure something like that out.
Have you ever considered your life as a trillionaire, like what you would do differently as a trillionaire?
Like with an unlimited amount of money.
More money than you could ever have in your entire lifetime. Like there was no such thing as a cap on money.
Yeah, of course I've thought about that.
So do you think that it would change you?
Well, I would like to think that it wouldn't, but it probably would. But I'd like to think that it wouldn't.
Imagine the influence you would have.
Mm.
Imagine how corruptible things could be around your life. Like nobody would say no to you anymore.
Yeah.
It's easy to say when you don't have it, but when you've got it and you've got people. Now, I'm not saying you would do this, but I'm saying that that temptation, that pure temptation like that, and I've called it the narcotic before, the narcotic of that and thinking I can do anything I want. I can have anything I want. I can't be stopped. If I want something to happen, it's going to happen. Nobody is saying no to me.
Mm.
Now, in a certain amount of groups that exist in the world, that exists.
Mm.
There's dog groups that happens in
mm.
where there's enough people and enough power for certain people within those organizations to have nobody be able to say no to them anymore.
Mm.
They're influencing government. They're changing and manipulating the political landscape. They're getting in amongst them. And you can jump around and say, oh, this, again, this sounds like conspiracy theory and you're just going off on a rant. I'm not going off on a rant. I'm trying to create awareness into something that's seriously happening around us. That's frightening that a little company like Licking Mat, and they're only one company.
Mm.
You know, like this isn't the first time it's happened to one little company that's just been pulled out and thrown on the rocks and all of a sudden they've got a knife to their throat
mm.
for making a choice.
Why do you think it happened to Licking Mat and not to someone like Kong? Like Kong do all the, they do everything. There isn't a part of the dog training world that Kong isn't involved in.
I think Kong is strong enough to defend them.
So you think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Is that Kong, like they're going after a weaker, like Licking Mat is the target because it's a smaller company.
Yeah, it's an outlier.
So do
it's
you
a
think
little company.
That they feel like, well, this is, we can actually take down Licking Mat? Do you think that's the...
I think that's what they wanted to do was put on a massive flex show.
Mm.
Like I'm saying is that narcotic feeling of feeling that powerful and creating that devastation. Like nobody considers the aftermath of that.
Mm.
Nobody thinks what the retaliation alone of that could be.
Mm.
They don't think about that. They're so hyped in the moment and the frenzy, you know, of that landscape of that berserker army just going absolutely feverishly crazy to kill their opponent. It's just madness. It is the madness of a crowd.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's it. Mm. Madness of a crowd. Are you familiar with the prisoner's dilemma?
You talked to me about this before, but I don't think I am.
Yeah, so the prisoner's dilemma is a game. It's like a maths problem. I think it was put together in the 40s or 50s, something like that. So the game is this. It's me versus you. We can't see each other. There's a banker, according to the original game, who has a pot of money, and we could call it money or points or coins, whatever, something that we want to achieve. And we have to choose to cooperate or to abstain.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know each other's answers until the round is complete. So if I choose to cooperate and you choose to cooperate, then we both get 3 coins. If I abstain, which means I say I'm not cooperating with Glenn, and you choose to cooperate, you get no coins and I get 5 coins, right? Because I cheated you,
yep.
Right? And if you choose to abstain and I choose to abstain, both of us, we both get 1 coin each, right? And so it's a game that goes through a number of rounds and we decide whether we want to cooperate or not. So a guy, I think his name was Robert Axelrod, I think was his name. It was in the 80s. He held a tournament. It was like early computer programming, just beginning of like game theory, computerized game theory.
Yep.
And held a tournament where people could submit a program. They would have to, you know, create the lines of code in order to play the prisoner's dilemma. But it was a round robin competition, i.e. every program had to play every other program. And at the end, it was like highest score wins. And so what's wild is people come up with all these, all their different programs have these names and people have these, you know, strategies on how to do it, how to trick the other into doing things and whether, you know, some of the strategies got categorized as nice and some of them get categorized, I think they call them mean, because like a nice strategy starts with cooperation, right? Every time always starts cooperating. And then others sort of intermittently, like if you cooperate with me for a number of times, then it throws in an abstain to steal from you and then tries to go back to cooperation. And the goal is that you have the most points at the end of the game. But what's wild about it, it relates to life and it relates to everything. And the reason I bother bringing it up now is I think that it relates to cooperation in the dog industry, is that throughout the tournaments that they've held on this, there's one strategy that wins every single time, and it's called tit for tat, right? So the tit for tat strategy starts out cooperative every time. It makes the assumption that you will be cooperative. And so they call that, like I say, that's being nice, right? Straight away. But tit for tat is retaliatory. So if we both start out cooperative, we remain cooperative throughout, right? And we just keep taking three coins each every round. If you then abstain from me on a round, you win, right? Like you get more points than me, but then I hit you back with that the next time, right? The thing about tit for tat is then it's also forgiving. So it never holds a grudge. Whatever you did last time, I do next time, right? It just mirrors you for each round. Mm. The strategies that always end up in the top of the tournament are always what they call like simple strategies, where it has a pattern that can easily be followed so that its opponent can see the pattern. It never hides its pattern. It's never nefarious about its intent. It just goes, well, you did this, so I do this. You do this, so I do this. And it always starts the same way and has the same input for output. Some of the strategies that got submitted would just randomly do weird shit to try and throw the other strategies. So what's interesting about it, and this is why it's been on my mind in relation to the Licky Mat stuff and as well as cooperation in the dog industry, it's everything. It relates to everything in the whole world, is that the strategies that always win, tit for tat, the start out point is always that it's like, well, I assume we'll get along well. Right from the jump, it has no intention to fuck you over. Mm-hmm. Right from the jump, it assumes cooperation. If you don't cooperate, it's like, well, fuck you. Now we're at each other. It's not a pushover. It says, no, you did this to me. I'm doing it back to you. But the moment that we go back to cooperating, it forgives straight away. And it gets back to like, we can cooperate. Let's carry on. And it never hides its intent. It just says, this is how it is. The wild thing about that tit for tat strategy is it can't win an individual game, right? All it can do is draw or lose a game. It can't ever win against someone else because it mirrors what they do, right? So it can only draw or it can lose. But at a tournament level where it goes to like a round robin, it wins every single time, right? Over the conglomerate, it ends up with the most points every single time.
Yeah.
Whenever I think about that game theory and the prisoner's dilemma, it always makes me think about the dealings of people within our industry where it's like cooperation should be assumed. Right. And if you put tit for tat against itself, it just cooperates the whole way through. Because if both programs cooperate from the first rep, then they mirror each other for the remainder of the reps and they just stay together all the time. And so if you're going against someone or if you have to work with someone that is following that same strategy as you, you'll never have an issue. It'll always be the same. But then if it's opponent, if your opponent or the person you're working with, the business partner, the people in the stratosphere, whatever, whoever it is that you're interacting with, if they do something that's non-cooperative, you have to do something back, right? Mm. Like you can't just be a pushover because that's a strategy that always loses. In the big picture, continues to lose as well. So there has to be retaliation, but then there has to be, after that, there has to be forgiveness and you have to go back to just getting along. Now think about it heaps. I think it, because this is the basis on which they think that like this is how the cooperative world was probably developed. When they talk game theory, probably species that live, breathe, work together, whether it's the same species, whether you're talking about like monkeys grooming each other, right? In the bit like I need to be groomed, therefore I have to groom you. We have to cooperate. All the way up to those fish that follow around sharks and eat the
remoras.
Yeah, that eat off of whatever it is, the junk out of their teeth and whatever, and the shark's allowed to do it without eating them instead. Like they think that that game theory has what has allowed for cooperative evolution and this crazy world of dependence on all species and everything is connected to something else. It all comes down to this prisoner's dilemma's game or a natural evolution form of it, right? Mm. And so like I find myself thinking about that whenever this kind of shit comes up. It's like, okay, we keep trying to cooperate here. We're playing tit for tat, right? I want to cooperate. We have on this show been so many times where we talk about the crazy force-free people trying to fuck up our whole industry versus the people who are sane and balanced. But I don't necessarily mean like balanced trainers. I just mean like sane, balanced as in fucking have their head on straight.
Logical, lateral thinking people.
Yeah, like people who are actually in it for the progression of dogs and can actually train a dog, right?
And they're decent people too.
So in the long run, I feel confident we win, right? I feel confident that in the big picture, we win. But in the meantime, the problem, like I've said, is that the tit for tat strategy within the prisoner's dilemma doesn't ever win a battle. Mm. It wins the war, but it never, ever wins a battle. And that can be really difficult and that can be really frustrating, especially when you see stuff like this where the mob's going after Licky Matt because they had an interaction with a balanced trainer. You look at that and you go, this is fucking insanity, right? And I don't want to be involved in this. So the tit for tat is now us going like, you guys are fucking idiots. I'm going to tell as many people as I can that you guys are idiots. And we're going to try and expose to more of our listeners because I know that we have a lot of people. We get emails from them all the time, people who are from the non-tool camp, right? And we got to go like, hey, guys, you got to do something about these fucking idiots, right? Like,
it's embarrassing.
You have to do something about this. And that's why we bring this up all the time. But then next week, I'm back to cooperate. I'm not going after this. I'm not pursuing it.
That's because what I said. We're not trying to start a war. I often integrate the show with a movie reference. So here comes.
Oh, good.
The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger playing the Joker when they're sitting on the water in two different ferries. Mm-hmm. Laden with explosives, and they've got to decide who kills who. Mm-hmm. One is full of families and good, upstanding citizens. The other one is full of the wretched, prisoners, murderers, rapists, everyone like that. And they've got to decide who's going to kill each other. That's how I feel like I'm fucking sitting with these people all the time. Mm. It's sitting in a boat laden with explosives, waiting for one of them to detonate it.
Mm.
But the thing is, we're not going to detonate them. Like, we're not going to press the button and blow up their boat. I just feel it in a heartbeat. They just grab that remote and go, yeah, let's pull the trigger.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's just get rid of these bad guys. What was great about that was it didn't play into the Joker's assumption of that's how people would treat each other. But I don't believe it because I think that they would in that situation. They'd go, you know what? Let's blow these motherfuckers out of the water. Then we've got, like, we just got a captive audience of all of those heads. We can take them out right now.
Yeah, well, on a like larger humanity scale, that has been proven. You know, there's been two false alarm nuclear missile strikes. You know, you're aware of that?
Yeah.
Two. So there's a Russian one where the Russians thought that they were being nuked and the guy on duty said, nah, fuck it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So luckily, because it was a sun reflecting off of a cloud system. And so he fortunately was like, no, I'm not doing it. He thought for sure, like, this is a nuclear launch against us, but I'm not doing the retaliatory strike.
Yeah.
And there was an American one, I can't remember all the details of, but the president at the time was like, no, we're not doing it. We're not nuking them back because I'm just not doing that. I can't remember all the details of that one. So like that real life has played out where people have gone like, I'm not the one. I'm not the one that is attacking you because I think that you'll attack me. So that gives me some level of solace in it all.
Yeah, but they did. They hit the trigger on this one. Like they blew up the bus on it.
Yeah, for Licky Matt, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. So like I think that we're dealing with a lot of very mentally unstable people. I think my biggest concern in it all is that the people who are so – look, I keep thinking about that video that I posted, right, because that's my personal experience. I can feel that. I'm assuming everybody else's feelings and thoughts, but I can feel my own. And it's that my big concern about people getting upset about me working your dog on a table is anybody who can read a dog – like the criticism I'll take is – of my decoy work, right? Like I'll hear the feedback on that, but not whether that dog is having a good time or not, right? Like that is obvious for anybody who can read a dog, who knows anything about dog training. You don't even need to know much about bite work to be able to see that that dog is like, oh, this is great. This dog is having a great time.
I couldn't wait to get on the table. He nearly dislocated my little finger trying to get up.
Yeah, and
he was so happy.
So the concern is that the people who are so vehemently against it are seeing the same footage that we're seeing, but they're interpreting that in a totally different way. And it's not reality, right?
They're just coming at it with their level of education. That's it.
Yeah.
Their level of education is so low on that point They're seeing what they're seeing, hearing what they're hearing, and saying what they're saying. You know, you and I had a good conversation a while ago, you know, in facing some more localized drama ourselves, where in a lot of groups, there's bullet makers and there's guns.
Mm.
And there's people who they really thrive on making ammunition. Mm. They really stockpile it. They sit there and they wait and they stockpile everything. So one of my family members, I call him a data logger. He's literally data logged everything that's gone wrong in his life. So when you have an argument with him, he can literally turn around and barrel you with everything that's gone wrong that you've had any form of association with whatsoever. And they love it. They absolutely love it. They never tire of using it. And it's reusable ammunition as well. So bullet makers, they're crafty strategists. They're very patient. And what they're waiting for is a stupid gun to come along and fire their ammunition for them, because the bullet maker can then remain untouched by all of the pandemonium that goes on there. So when the gun fires it, they can step back and go, oh, well, it wasn't me.
Mm.
Yeah, they got the bullets off me, but I mean, it wasn't me. I was sitting here like little Miss Innocent and I didn't do anything. And then suddenly this blunt weapon comes along and starts ripping off ammunition everywhere. So in actual fact, it's a symbiotic relationship that needs each other and thrives on each other.
Mm.
It's a chaotic formulation that really devastates anybody in its path. And it's sad, like it's horrible, because it happens in small, intimate groups and it happens in massive organization. It happens within government. You know, I was watching on Disney the other day, while being sick, I was watching a great new show called Shogun. And it's just conspiracy and planning and plotting and diabolical behavior against each other and setting each other up. It never ends. You know, like you're thinking in times of feudal Japan, that was happening back then when we weren't even a thought. It's happening right now in our own groups. The problem is we can't stop it.
Mm.
By design, it's supposed to go on.
It's human nature.
It is human nature. And that's the sad part of reality that I've come more and more to, in terms of living with, but I don't like it. And I don't think it's acceptable. I don't think it's acceptable that people, especially now, that social media, which has become a very, very formidable gun, is being weaponized for these crafty bullet makers who then, like I said, they groom people to go out and fire for them.
Mm.
They literally hand them the ammunition. Go fire.
Mm.
Go take down as many targets as you possibly can. You'll get the blame for it, and I can sit here in the background just like appearing like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm innocent in this party. Look at me. I'm dumb. I don't know anything.
Mm.
But the bullet maker, in plural, the bullet makers are some of the most devastating people ever.
Mm.
Like they're both guilty. They're both guilty, but the bullet maker is the one.
Mm.
What do you think is the solution in the Licky Mat situation, that type of thing? What can we do?
I think we've done it. I think we've created awareness, and that's what I said. I don't want people to go off and start a war. I don't want them to get onto the forums and start becoming as petty. Like that old saying, from a distance, if you're arguing with an idiot, it's hard to tell who is who.
Mm.
And that's the problem, is because you get so tied up in it and then your emotions rise and then all you're doing is literally playing tit for tat.
Yeah.
And you're just exploding off in the distance. I think what we need to do is create this format for people to say, this is absolutely diabolical. I think what you should do is get in touch with Licky Mat and say, I support you. You know, buy a product off them. Why not?
Mm.
You know, like support them. Buy a Licky Mat. And just say, you know, like, fuck them. I'm going to buy one of your Licky Mats.
Yeah.
I didn't need one, but I'm going to buy one just for the hell of it, just to say, fuck you.
I'm going to buy one so I can feel myself cutting it up. Yeah, and I think my concern is always, like I said, a lot of the people who are the guns, in your analogy, they don't actually know what the fuck they're doing. So, like, education of those people, an assumption.
They're just excited to be firing the bullet.
Yeah, but an assumption that they can be convinced with, not through argument, I think is important as well, like education. So you're like, hey, this is it. And that's why usually you're with posts, whenever I post anything that might be controversial, like, for example, I was on the Fenzy Dog Sport Academy podcast, which is, even they acknowledged to me when they asked me to go on, like, this is a little bit of you walking into the lion's den. And I'm like, yeah, but
why would they say that?
Well, because
did we say that to Denise when she appeared on the show?
No.
Was there
all.
Any but our, caveats our, that we said, oh, you're going to get your throat cut?
Yeah,
like,
no, not
it,
at all.
It was the polar opposite. Like, people enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
I didn't see one person. Did you get any negative feedback over it?
No.
I didn't have one person contact me and say that was a mistake. Why'd you have that person on the show?
No.
I didn't get one of those.
No.
So why should it be the other way?
No, exactly. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
if you haven't sort of sat back and thought about the point, that's the point.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the reason I'm happy to do that is because it's the education piece of like, hey, this is what I do. This is why I do it. And if you've got an issue with that, you might want to have a pretty serious think about why you have that issue, because I'm a pretty reasonable person. I'm not an extreme person in any way, shape or form. None of the things that I do, I mean, that's not true at all. I'm extreme in many ways, but not in my dog training. You know what I mean? Like I'm a very moderate dog training centrist, to be honest. And in my opinion, that's what a balanced trainer is. That's the whole point. We've gone on for a while. Let's fucking wrap it up.
Yeah, it's time to wrap it up.
Well, so that's our tit for tat. That'll be back to normal programming next week. We'll be back to, I don't know, we'll do something fun. And I promise you it won't be us whinging like this has been. But it's things that we have to express. We have to address these things as they happen, because ignoring them at the scale that this has happened is dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think we both agree on that.
We've chosen not to be involved in some political landscapes before, and it's come back on us. Like people have come back and said, why didn't you get involved? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you act as a voice? We both agreed before that we don't really like it. It doesn't sit well with us to be two whinging bastards about this sort of stuff. It does get under my skin.
Mm.
It does affect me emotionally and mentally. Like I feel it resonating within me. Even when I was lying in bed, I'm looking at this and I'm just doing the whole tut, tut, tut thing in my deathbed while I was rolling around.
Just dying of man flu.
Just sitting there dying and just going, why this?
Yeah.
You know, like why again? But anyway, we've covered that and it's unfortunate. I know it's going to happen again. I've resigned myself to the fact that you can't trust these people not to do it.
Yeah.
They actually like it. That's what I'm more afraid of.
I believe that. Yeah. For sure.
They like it. It's attention getting. It's their dopamine.
Yeah.
Like I really think that it makes them feel validated that they can get out there and stomp on some poor bastard's head.
Yeah. You know, when you got like you're playing tug with a dog, right? It could be doing proper bite work or it could be just playing tug. Most people have seen a video if you haven't done this, but if you got, say, a handler's holding a dog or you got it on a back tie and you've got a wedge or a toy or something and you slip that toy to the dog, and if it's a possessive dog, it goes to ground, and you just give a little niggle of that toy keeping it alive, and you watch their whole body, their whole posture, because something kicks in where suddenly they become a wolf that has caught the rabbit and the rabbit's in its death throes, and you watch the power.
That's the art,
exhilaration, all of that. And that's what you see from the mob when they go after people and there are the death throes, right? Because that's so empowering. You see it when you can simulate it with a dog. We watch it where they're like, oh my God, I'm fucking doing it. Like I'm taking this down. I'm killing it, even though it's a rag, right? But the same thing had happens when you see people, like the mob goes after someone, and when they're like, oh no, please stop. They're like, I've got you. This is it. I'm digging in. You're in your death throes. But I think when they go on after someone, they're like, hey, fuck off, dickheads. I don't care. It's like, oh, that's not making me feel like I wanted to feel.
That's what I said to you before. Like, imagine you go through most of your life not feeling powerful, not feeling validated. And then all of a sudden something like this happens and you get to be a part of that assault team and you get to feel like I got in there and I stomped on them with them. And all of a sudden there is this arrogance and this egotistical viewpoint that you got to be a part of that berserker group.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you feel powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's nothing more desirable than that sometimes. Like people love that. And I've seen people light up with things like that. I've seen them become so animated. Like when you were talking about the animation when you see in dogs before, that animation, that arrogance.
I'm doing it.
I'm in the
game. No one can stop me.
Yeah.
I've done it.
I feel so alive. Like
adrenaline
is coursing through my veins right now because it's sort of like something that wakes them up from their mediocrity.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. All right, that's it for another episode of the Canine Paradigm. As always, if you like what you hear, go buy a licky mat.
Yep. I'm laughing with my coffee voice.
If you want to support the show, the best way to do that is to buy a licky mat.
Do that. Buy a licky mat.
Buy 10 fucking licky mats.
Yep.
Do you sell them here?
We do sell them here.
Come around. This whole show has been an ad for licky mats.
Yeah.
Come and buy one from Glenn.
Yep, we've got licky mats.
Yep, maybe I'll stock them.
Yeah.
All right, but for realsy.
They're good products. Great products.
Yep. I probably should have one for Val. She eats like, she inhales.
Licky mats are fantastic. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely buy a licking mat.
All right, I'm gonna buy 10.
Yep.
All right, best way to support the show is to jump into Patreon.
Yep.
Do that. There's lots of cool stuff in there, more stuff going forward. There's a significant discount link to my online course in Patreon, so you could spend $3 and save $200. That would
fantastic.
Be
fantastic. Very generous of you, sir.
I'm trying.
Mm.
And you could also buy some cool merch. We've got cool t-shirts.
Which I saw, who was displaying one the other day? Was that our Irish mate?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, it was Finn. Yeah, yeah. Sent us a photo.
Finn McCabe?
Yeah, Finn McCabe sent us a photo of himself in a cool Story Show Me Your Dog shirt.
Thanks, Finn.
Yeah, appreciate you. I love seeing people wearing the shirts. It's the best.
Yep, that's where I get my adrenaline coursing from. Not from taking
powerful.
Down a company, but
that's
watching.
That's how I feel powerful.
That's right.
When I open up Facebook, I'm sitting on the toilet there and I see a photo of someone wearing our shirts. Power.
Yep, and you think, now I can complete my poo.
That's a funny thing about social media is with probably, 90% certainty, you can be sure that when you're reading someone's comments, they wrote that while they were taking a poo.
Yep. Yeah. Imagine all these gorgeous influencers, like they've shot all these reels.
Yeah. And the caption, for sure, written yep. while taking a poo.
Yep.
It's a good use of time, to be honest.
If you've done that, just put the poo emoji next to you.
I'm going to start doing that.
Yep.
Be on all of them. All right, so do that, buy a shirt. If you want to get in contact with us, the best way to do that is to jump into our discussion group. It's 10,000 odd people in there. No one in there is trying to cancel Licking Mat.
No one. I think people are just outraged by it.
Yeah.
Like just hurt for Licking Mat that they had to go through that unscrupulous attack.
Madness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and if you want to shoot us an email, we're info@thecanineparadigm.com. Love you all. Goodbye.